And we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul writes, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to me and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us this present evil world, according to the word of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time together at Bible Baptist Church, dear Lord. And I just pray that this message is clear from the word of God, dear Lord. As we learn about the Galatians and this false gospel, dear Lord, that the heretics bring in. But we thank you for the Apostle Paul and him writing this, dear Lord. We pray that we can take this message, apply it to our lives today. We pray all things in Christ's name. Amen. 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 But today I'm going to start off by giving you my testimony. We'll do it that way. And I was raised in Enfield, Connecticut, with different kinds of people. It was kind of a multicultural kind of thing. Enfield, Connecticut, there were different nationalities of people. So that's why I thought I could always relate to the Apostle Paul. And my mother is from Suffield, Connecticut, and she went to a Baptist church. But it wasn't a real Baptist church. It was a church where she went to 17 years in Suffield, Connecticut. But they played church. And some of you might know what I'm saying when I say that. They played church. They played church. And my father was from Windsor, Connecticut. My great-grandfather started a church in Windsor, Connecticut, Dennis White. And that turned into an AME Zion church in the Hayden Station section of Windsor. But looking at my parents, neither one of them were saved. They weren't saved. And so my mother's best friend, who was a nurse, she said to my mother, you know, Jerry, you should bring the kids to church. And so every Sunday, her best friend would pick us up, and she'd bring us to church. And I always remember looking out the back window and seeing my mother seeing someone else bring her kids to church. And I knew after a while it was kind of breaking her heart. So, but we'd be in Sunday school, and I was 8 years old, third grade, and also my sister was 2 years older, and my brother's 3 years younger. But from age 8 to 14, I was in Sunday school, and my junior high school teacher, Mr. Beck, who worked with my father at a paper mill, so he loved football, and we had something in common. But I remember one day he was preaching in junior high boys about the Apostle Paul. And I said, I couldn't believe that a man could be going into churches, railing, causing havoc, and then all of a sudden he showed his conversion. And I said, is that possible that could have happened, that somebody could be a murderer? And he showed me in the Bible, and he said, so after class, I talked to him. We went out in the hallway, he brought me in the hallway, and he said, well, Don, you understand the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? And I said, yes, I do. And I've been here for 6 years in Sunday school. And so he says, well, Don, you know, do you want to pray? And I said, yeah, I want to know how to be saved. I want to be saved. And I've been hearing it for a long time. And, you know, I got a burden for my family. My mother and father are not saved. But I want to be saved. And I decided, but I like to pray. So we went in the hallway. We're on our way up to church. And so we prayed the prayer. And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And I received him as my Savior. Back then, they would say accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. But I know I received him as my Savior. Amen. And I remember going home, and my father, of course, not in church. So after I was born again, I went into my house, and my father was sitting in the living room. But I knew when I walked in, he looked at my face. He knew there was something different about me. And we didn't say a thing, but my father just happened to look at me, and he looked at me and just kept staring at me. I don't know why he was staring at me. But I think by the Holy Spirit, he knew something had happened in my life. And he knew that I was going down the wrong path. And even though I was 14, this is 1975, and even though I was 14 years old, I was already doing some things I shouldn't have been doing. And he was always correcting me. When I mean correcting, I mean, you know, back then, you could, you know, the adult, you know, people would spank their kids. Amen. Nowadays, you can't, you know, but you know, my father, I mean, you know, so, you know, well, we can say it here, but my father would, like, I mean, you know, so he says, and he saw something in me where I was already, you know, liking girls at a young age and hanging around the wrong people, and he said, well, Dad, you know, I accepted Jesus Christ. They said, accept. I said, I received Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior today. And he says, I knew there was something different about you when you walked in the room. So I knew it was the Holy Spirit because I didn't say anything to him. He just stared at me. And so I said, you know, I wanted to tell you what happened. I said, I'd like you to have Jesus Christ as your Savior too. And so we looked in his Bible afterwards, but a few months later, he was saved. He got saved the same year I did. And so the Lord used me as a testimony in his life. And my mother, by seeing her best friend bring us kids to church, my mother says, well, I'm not going to have anybody bringing my kids to church anymore. And shortly after that, she started bringing us to church, and she got saved. The same year. So I know the Lord works in that way. So I remember the next week going to get this book about the, we had a little small church library, but it wasn't a library, it was a bookcase against a cement wall. And that was a church library. And there was a book, a small book that said Paul on it. So something just drew me to that book. So I took the book out of the church library and I kept it. And shortly after that, my dad, when he got saved by people at work, we moved to a church called Calvary Baptist Church in Winslow, Connecticut. So I never returned that book, and I had forgotten about it, but I must have read it 100 times about the Apostle Paul. And then 16 years later, on one of my sales calls, I went back to the church, and my same pastor was there, Pastor Highland, my first pastor. I said, Pastor, I got this book to return to you. I've had it for 16 years. And he says, oh, Don. He goes, yeah, I remember that book. And then so he was like, look, and all of a sudden, we were talking, and all of a sudden, there was silence. He started writing. And I said, okay, so are we all done talking, Pastor? He says, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how much of a past due I'm going to charge you for this book. And I said, okay, well, okay. He goes, no, that's okay, you can have it. So, but even after I saved, there were some times, my later teen years, I fell. I'm not going to lie to you. There were times I fell, and I stopped going to church for a while. Into my 20s, I stopped going to church for a while. But then I realized that I need to be back in church, so I started going back to church. And I was single for a long time, and so I visited Emmanuel Baptist Church going forward. And I came on a Wednesday night by myself, and I just met my wife previously before that. And I went on Wednesday night, and Pastor Darrell was giving his testimony. And I was sitting there by myself on a Wednesday, and I'm saying, and he was telling about his testimony on the train in NYC and things like that. I was thinking, like, well, what a testimony. I go, one day I'm going to get up in front of that church and give my testimony. And I said, well, the Lord put it by my heart, and I talked to our pastor. Today I would give my testimony. Hey, some of you have heard it. Some of you heard it. Some of you haven't. But amen. I just praise the Lord for my salvation. Yes, and like the pastor said, our pastor said, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Yes, sir.
So that's how you finish. So here I am now, fast forward, my wife, we're back in church, and this is where the Lord called us. So whatever he wants to do with us from this forward, time forward, we just thank him for his grace and mercy. And I thank him for my salvation.
Amen.
So, all right. Okay. So amen. So we're going to look at verse 6, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So Paul was amazed that he came on his first missionary journey with Barnabas, and he was talking to the Galatians. He met the Galatians, and he started churches there. But there's some, for some reason, this group of people came in, Judaizers, who were Jewish heretics. They were Jewish heretics. And they came in, and they were given a false gospel. They're saying, your justification by Jesus Christ is not enough. You got to do something else. So it's not just by grace, by believing in Jesus Christ, but you got to have circumcision, and you got to have your good works, and you got to go by the Mosaic law, and it's Jesus Christ by faith alone. Justification by faith alone is not enough. You got to do these extra things. And so the Galatian people, that they were immature, the Galatian churches. They were an immature church. And so these Judaizers who were heretics, false teachers, came in and they were attacking these immature people, the churches. So the Apostle Paul had come preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, justification by faith alone, nothing else. There's nothing else more you need to do but with your works. Amen. Or nothing, no circumcision, nothing you have to add to it. Christ did it all. By grace we are saved. Amen. Justification by grace alone, nothing else. Amen. But the Judaizers were bringing in this false gospel, and what the people in Galatia, the Galatian churches, were believing it. So they thought they had to do something more. And if you look at verse here, if we look at verse 7, okay, let's see. If we look at verse 7, which is, okay. Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So there be some that trouble you. So the Galatian churches, the people were troubled. But why were they troubled? They were troubled because they were hearing a false gospel, but they were already regenerated. They were saved. But this troubling came from that. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul writes, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Peace. Peace, dude. The Galatian churches, the Galatian people were troubled because something was, when trouble comes in, it robs your peace. The peace they knew was regeneration. It was a peace that was supernatural. They were saved, but they were hearing this false gospel that was saying that Jesus Christ alone, justification by faith alone, is not enough. So they were saying, no, you got to add something to that. You got to add works to that. But that wasn't true. So they were troubled. Is my salvation not good? Is it not sincere? Or is it not real? They were saying that. So they were troubled. And trouble comes and it robs your peace.
That's right.
Trouble robs your peace. And it also says here, if we go back to Galatians chapter 1, that they were perverting the gospel. So verse 7 says, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So what the Judaizers were doing is they were taking the gospel of Christ and they were twisting it to make it be something else that it wasn't. It was a false gospel. But the gospel that the Apostle Paul brought peace. But this gospel that the Galatians, that the Judaizers were bringing, there was no peace there because there's no regeneration. Mm-hmm. And there was always a problem in their soul because they weren't really saved. So there was always there's no peace, there was no comfort. And it was just, as we learned in seminary, it was always noise. They had soul noise. There was no peace inside their hearts. So that was something that we learned there. And the Apostle Paul says in verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. In verse 9, and as we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any gospel unto you, that we have received, let him be accursed. So that's strong language. But that word accursed means, the word accursed, here I am looking at my notes again. Okay. Right. Pastor told me, okay, you know what? Prophecy doesn't look at the notes, okay. It's anathema. It's anathema. The word accursed means anathema. It's a Greek word, and it means, if they do that, let them be accursed, and it means devoted to destruction. So if an angel from heaven or anybody else comes and they bring a false gospel, it's anathema, and let them be devoted to destruction. So that's some strong language by Apostle Paul, but he wants to let the Galatians know how serious this is, that they're don't listen to these people. They're telling you that the gospel of Jesus Christ alone is not enough, but it is enough. Justification by faith, Christ alone, you don't have to add works. You don't have to add the Mosaic law, and you don't have to add circumcision to it. So justification by faith in Jesus Christ is enough. But if we look at verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul was not a man pleaser. Paul was not a man pleaser, but the Judaizers were. They were just like the Pharisees, and they wanted to hang around the people that had money, and with their phylacteries on their head, and showing up, being with the best crowd. But Paul wasn't a man pleaser. Paul said in verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. So the Judaizers were coming into the Galatian church, and they were undermining Paul's authority. And they say, who is this guy? Who is he? Is he an apostle? Where does he get his authority? What qualifies him? What makes you think his gospel is right? But if we look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, I got an answer for that. Amen. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So Paul became an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle means sent one. So the Lord Jesus Christ sent Paul, launched him on his journey, his mission, not any man. So the gospel came to Paul by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he didn't have to answer to man. And Paul even went forth and said that, if you look in verse 13, Paul gives his testimony. For you have heard of my conversion, my conversation in the time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. That was the church at Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And if we look, let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. Amen. Verses 3 and 4. And Luke writes, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house. You know, it's not just what, every house. Every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Verse 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So Paul was causing havoc. He was raiding churches. He was going into people's houses, splitting up families and throwing them into prison. So that's what Paul was doing. That was his life. Paul was a bad man. He was a bad man. He was doing the wrong thing. But if we take a look at chapter 9, let's look over to chapter 9. And we look at verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way Christians, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what to do. There's something changed in Paul's life now. There's his conversion. So Paul was converted at this point. From this point on, he was never going to be the same. And the Lord said to Paul that great things you must suffer for my name's sake. So Paul did. Shipwreck, all kinds of things, and ailments. And that reminds me, when I went to, when I was admitted four times at Yale Hospital, the Lord Jesus Christ said to Paul, just like he said to me, four times I was admitted, and I wasn't sure if I was going to make it at Yale Hospital this past year. And the Lord said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee. And that's what he said to the Apostle Paul, My grace is sufficient for thee. So the Apostle Paul was a changed man. He had a changed heart. And now things were different. If you go back to chapter 8, Paul can say, just like our brother said here a couple of weeks ago, Paul says, I'm not that man anymore. I'm a new man. He's converted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So now Paul's got liberty. He's got freedom. And now he's a new man. He's a different man. He was justified by faith. Christ saved him. Christ could have dropped him right there on the road to Damascus, but he didn't.
That's right.
Because he had a plan for the Apostle Paul's
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
Just like he has a plan for every one of us here today.
Amen.
It's not over yet. The Apostle Paul, many things he was going to suffer. So Paul, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. And look at verses 8 through 9. 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And the Apostle Paul writes, For by grace are ye saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But the Judaizers were preaching something different. They said it is by works. That the justification by faith and grace alone in Jesus Christ was not enough. You've got to follow the law. You've got to follow the Old Testament Mosaic law. You've got to have circumcision. But no, the Apostle Paul says here, he says, For by grace are ye saved, by the grace of Jesus Christ, Amen. Through faith. Justification by faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God.
Amen.
It's nothing you did, it's no works, but the Judaizers are saying you have to do, there's something more that you have to do. And that's why they were troubled.
Yeah.
That's why they were troubled. And they were immature Christians, and the Judaizers, these Jewish heretics were attacking these immature people. They were messing with Paul's flock. So don't mess with my flock. It's just like our pastor here. That's not going to happen here, right? But that's a pastor would know that, and so no, you're not going to mess with the flock. Paul had what they call redemptive revival. We learned in seminary class from our seminary professor. Redemptive revival. Jesus Christ died for Paul, his sins, and he died for our sins. And so now we worship him. There's a reverse there. Now he died for us, but now we give our lives to him. We worship him. Worship him. Okay. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 10 through 16. Galatians 5, 10 through 16. Paul's talking to the Galatian churches, talking to Galatians. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth, oh, there's the word trouble again, he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? He's not preaching what the Judaizers preached. But why does he still? Why does he suffer? Yeah. Because he's preaching the correct gospel. Then is this offense of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off that trouble you. Now Paul's not asking for fire to come down from heaven or anything bad to happen to these Judaizers to wipe them out, even though God could do that. He's just trying to tell them stop bringing in a false gospel and stop messing with the flock, amen, with his flock, and that's what he wanted for the Galatian churches. I would have that they even which trouble you. Verse 12, I would have they were even cut off which trouble you. And verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. So now that they were saved, they had liberty. They had freedom in Christ. You've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And here's a key. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not for the lust of the flesh. Paul was concerned about the immaturity of the Galatian churches, the Galatian people. But he wanted the best for them. He wanted them to be mature. He wanted them to grow. But he wanted to take care of this problem. Paul had three problems. He had an authority problem that he's being undermined by the Judaizers. He had an immaturity problem where the people of the Galatian churches were immature, and that's how they were so soon accepting another gospel. Mm-hmm. And he also had a false gospel being taught in his churches. But by the gospel of Jesus Christ and by the word of God, he took care of all those problems. Amen. And he wanted to make sure they knew one thing, that grace in Jesus Christ, justification by faith, Christ is all you need.
Right.
You know, and if there's no other gospel. The gospel given to the Apostle Paul was given to him by revelation of Jesus Christ, not of men. So he was telling them the truth. So it's not salvation plus circumcision. It's not salvation plus good works. It's not salvation plus believing in the Mosaic law. All you need is Jesus Christ. Amen. You want to know that this is a gospel. This gospel is true. And no one can take your salvation from you, just like no one can take our salvation from us.
Right.
So once we're saved, we're in the hand of Jesus Christ, and no one can pluck us out.
Amen.
So Paul gave the correct gospel. The gospel from the Judaizers, there was no peace there. There was no peace there.
Right.
But the gospel from Paul, from the Lord Jesus Christ, there was peace.
Yeah.
A fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
A fruit of the Spirit. And nothing was robbing, and nothing should trouble them, and nothing should trouble us. So just remember that it's justification by faith.
Amen.
We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we ask Jesus Christ to come into our hearts, we confess our sins, we repented, turned around and went the other way. It's justification by faith and nothing else.
Amen.
So I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation, and I'm sure we all do here.
Amen.
And hopefully we have no Judaizers or false teachers coming into Bible Baptist Church.
Mm.
But like the Pastor Charles says, we guard the front door and the back door.
Amen.
And the side door next to the piano and everything else. But
yes,
we do that because we're good, and we grow here, and we hear the truth. That we hear the true gospel, we get the word of God,
amen,
and we thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the book of Galatians, and I pray that we can apply this message to our lives.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you, dear Lord, for the book of Galatians. We thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And we just thank you for our salvation in Christ, dear Lord. And we just pray we can take this message and live it and bring it forward in what we learn, dear Lord, to glorify you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.